back to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We're in the second half of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. Our phone number to reach us is 855-454-5905. We're having an opportunity for you to call in and ask whatever question you like about your relationship. We had Kevin on the line before the break. We're going to rejoin that conversation. Kevin, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for waiting patiently. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise Your Inspiration Station. I am your host, Marcos Mercado. And Kevin called in, Kevin from Philadelphia, and mentioned that his fiance is out of control with his money. So, Kevin, can you just elaborate a little more? What's going on?
Well, it's hard to explain. I thought our relationship was perfect, and not perfect, but almost perfect. And I moved to Atlanta. I have a business in Philadelphia. Continued to have that business and ventured down to another business in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So we was out there for about close to 5 years now. Everything was. Mm-hmm. Then I had two kids by her. She already had a 2-year-old when I first met her.
Okay.
We had two more kids, so that they're young, 1 and 2. And my business started falling. So I started another business in Atlanta, and it probably wasn't Golly, but it was a sports bar.
Okay.
That was last year, and I want to say that contributed to things too, but everything fell apart in January. So I had to come back to Philadelphia to run my business in Philly. We had a game plan. We talked about it. I was going to come to Philly, run my business, try to sell off the business in Atlanta, and start my life back over in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Or surround the area of Philadelphia if, money was right. So then when my business fell apart in Philadelphia, I noticed that I had to, spend some money, and I went to my credit cards, and one of them was overextended, like $17,000.
Okay.
And that was the first situation. We talked about it, got through it. I'm going to go on Philadelphia, and we're going to handle this.
All right, well, pause 1 second. So, Kevin, what did she say in response to the $17,000 charge or the different charges on your credit card?
With me having to drill her and keep on trying to find answers to it, because she was just, really didn't have a legitimate answer in the beginning until I had to keep asking her, well, where did this come from? You know how I pay my bills. She was in charge of my bills, but she would have my stipulation was to pay my bills off in full every month.
Okay.
And she wasn't paying it off in full, and I didn't recognize it because I didn't monitor it. And I don't know how remorseful she was, to be honest with you, because this was back in January, but we got through it, and it got a lot worse after that.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, a couple of things, Kevin. I think, number one, it sounds like you do understand, at least from the little conversation we just had, you do know that there's some things you've done that are not godly. And I think that's where I first want to start, because, the Bible is very clear about the foundation that you build on. Matthew chapter 7, where it talks about the wise and the foolish builders. And it sounds like this relationship, and even where you've been heading with your life, it's like Christ is really not the foundation. Is that correct?
It is correct, but I was well grounded in religious Christianity before I went to Atlanta.
No, I hear you, but you know what's right, but you are not building on a solid foundation. I mean, you have two kids where you're not married,
yes.
So that means you're engaging in premarital sex. You open up a sports bar. I mean, it's not necessarily a sin to open up a sports bar, but the things that sound like can go on there and what you're doing, it's like, it's like you're playing really close to the fence in that case, right? But I think the relationship in itself. Now, here's the challenge. When you're going to be a married couple, number one, if you want your relationship to last, the Bible says, you build anything you build, you got to build on a solid foundation, which is Christ. Anything else is just sand. It's like having a nice beach house, but then, this major, wave comes in and destroys, a tsunami comes. You will go through challenges. But I think, Kevin, there are a lot of mistakes you've made along the line. And one of them, of course, is not having Christ as your foundation. But one of them, to me, is you don't just let one spouse deal with the finances. This is something you do as a team. Like, you should be able to sit down at least once a month. I mean, it doesn't have to be all the time, but at least once a month, have a not a long meeting, but have a meeting saying, hey, let's look at where we are, where we're going, what we're trying to do, how we are, like, how do we reconcile this budget? And it's a two-way street. I don't believe that just one person can do it because, you know, it's tempting. We need accountability on both our parts. And so I think the mistake is to say, okay, I'm just going to let her do it. Maybe she has a, you know, spending problem or a honesty issue or whatever. But if you're accountable every month, it won't get out of control because you would have caught it early. The first time something would have happened, you would have been like, hold on. Why wasn't this bill paid on time? What are we doing? Are we working together or are we working against each other? Are we trying to accomplish some things together for the family, for the kids, for our future? And so I think that's the big one. Now, you decided to forgive her, correct?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You decided to forgive her. I mean, she's still your fiance. Yeah. You're still...
I mean, that was over that incident. Okay. I haven't decided to forgive her.
So
now.
Something happened again after that?
Yes.
And was it worse? Was it like a lot more money or what was it?
Yeah, a lot more money, a lot more worse.
Okay. And did she come clean? Did she finally tell you what happened and what she spent it on?
Yes, but the deceitfulness is what hurts me the most. I mean, the money I've been at the bottom of came out of many times before, but the deceitfulness is what scares me.
Hmm.
You see, yes, she gave me an excuse after you have to drill somebody time and time again, and it makes sense, but then she's giving me what I wanted to hear for her dishonesty.
All right.
That's
we don't have a lot of time, Kevin, but I am going to help you with one thing that I can pretty much talk about really quickly, and that's the fact that there are three main reasons why people lie. There are three types of liars, right? And I'm going to go through them really quickly. The first one is someone who lies to protect themselves. Number two is someone who lies to protect you, like they don't feel like you can handle the actual truth. And then the last one is someone who just lies because they do. They're just like the born liar. Now, the first person, if you got to be able to first identify, okay, your fiance, is she lying to protect herself? Is she lying to protect you? Or is she just a born liar?
That's the part. One and two.
All right.
And my question is number three.
Well, here, if you got to really think and pray about this, if it's number three, you can't help her. Like, no one can help that person because there's no reasoning behind it. They just lie.
Right. I've never seen that part of her at all. So that's what hurts the most. I've never seen her just be a liar. So
yeah. So if it's the first one, what I want to tell you is that although this may be difficult, and there, of course, there are going to be consequences beyond your control, but you can't punish her for being honest, meaning you give her an opportunity to say, listen, I love you. I want to work this out, but you got to come clean. And you can't, like, have her come clean or start telling you something, and then you punish her. And what I mean by punishing...
That's what I actually been telling her, and that's what I told her would set me free and I can go forward, to come clean. That's why I said I have to thrill her to get the truth. And now I think I'm getting the truth, but it wasn't voluntarily. You know what I mean? It was over and over.
Okay, and I get you. But here's what you got to do. If that didn't come out, like, out of a sincere heart, and there is more, you got to let her know if there's more, then it's over. Like, you can't, how can you marry this woman even though you have kids together? And that's where it becomes complicated because you've done this backwards. And that's why God is very clear what he says, man. You should have, you know, really get to know the person, count the cost, marry them, and have a relationship for the rest of your life. In this case, you know, you're going through this now, but you have children together. But it's still better to see this now than to go ahead and marry her first. You know, this would have been devastating, right? So you got to thank God for what he's exposing, but you're gonna have to give it some time. But definitely, Kevin, I encourage you to make sure you're doing this together, that you help her to not be unaccountable. You have to help her to be accountable to this, but not punish her for it. So you're gonna have to work at this together. Something I recommend, I highly recommend it, and if you get a chance, Google, you know, look up Financial Peace University, something that you and your fiance might really want to do together.
Okay.
it would help you, you know, with your finances. But Kevin, I do thank you so much, and you know, please call us, let us know what's the update, what's going on with your relationship in the near future.
Okay, thank you.
All right, have a blessed day.
All right, take care. And with that, Terrence, we know you're on the line. We're going to take your call in a matter of minutes. And also, we can take your call as well if you give us a ring at 855-454-5905.
And I just want to say, Terrence, you know, please hold. I know you're calling from North Carolina, and you have a question about domestic abuse, but when the man is the victim. So everyone listening, you definitely don't want to miss this. We'll be back in just a moment.
All right. Stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows returns after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. We are taking your calls. If you have a question about your relationship, this is your opportunity to call in to get some advice. The number is 855-454-5905. Let's go to Ray. Lady Ray, calling in from Northeast Philadelphia on line one. Ray, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Ray. What is your comment or question for us today?
Okay, so my question is, how does one move on past a divorce that really, really inflicted a lot of pain?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out how to forgive someone who hasn't asked for forgiveness, someone who chose on his own to pick up and leave his family and now resides with someone. I'm having a difficult time with this. I am a Christian. I suppose he is. I thought he was. We've been married for 4 years. We have a child together. We both have previously been married.
Mm-hmm.
I am stuck. I really am. I don't want to be because I feel like I'm struggling with moving on in my life. This is hard. Even 4 years later, it's hard. And I don't want to make a mess of my life, but I feel like I'm not going down the right road. I'm trying to find things and people to fill the void of this deep-rooted pain that a man who I thought loved me and my children and his son, and I'm stuck and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to forgive him, and I don't know how to move on. I really don't. It's been hard. He's caused a lot of financial issues in my life. I've been threatened with losing my home. I've had to turn to family for help.
Yeah.
For food. It's been a struggle, and I don't know how to move on. I want to, but I just don't know how to.
Yeah. I think Ray, there's a lot going on there, and I think there is a mixture between having that hard time forgiving and dealing with the pain, and they're very separate. I mean, the pain is the pain; it hurts. I want you to, for a moment, you know, to shift gears a little bit and just think about the pain that Jesus had to endure, and this is our sin, and so we're all guilty of this, including you, and our sin put Jesus on that cross. And yet God is able to forgive. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Yet he was suffering and he was hurting. So the hurt, it takes time. And that's going to be a mourning process. And I don't think that, you know, sometimes what we do is we mistake things and we think, all right, if we forgive, we'll stop hurting. And so we try to hold on. But honestly, I mean, he's made some really bad decisions. Pray for him and pray for God's mercy on him, because I tell you, he will have to deal with God. And you're saying he's a Christian. He's definitely not living like a Christian. I mean, based on what you're telling us. So he's going to be accountable to God. There's no such thing as, okay, well, you can live however you want and not be accountable. So he's got to give an account. You say you have a child together. He's going to have to give an account one day, you know, and this is going to affect your child. So I think there's going to be a lot of praying that you need to do and to really guard your heart during this process. So he's not, I don't think, necessarily trying to hurt you, but he's so selfish right now that is causing you an immense amount of pain. But in that, you're going to have to pray to guard your heart and to forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Because you've also done some things in your life that God would say, hey, you know, if I want to hold you to this, I mean, you'll be in big trouble.
Yeah.
But again, the pain is real, and it's not just going to go away. You're not going to, you know, just close your eyes and pray and then wake up and say, okay, now I don't feel pain. I mean, that pain is real, and rightly so. I mean, we cause pain. When we sin, it doesn't just affect us. It causes a lot of pain to others, especially our loved ones. And unfortunately, you know, the consequences of his sin, because he's breaking his marital vows, he's, you know, ripping up his family, he's living, you're saying, with someone else, there are consequences. And then you're, in addition to that, there are even financial consequences because of his selfishness. It's affecting you financially. Therefore, it's affecting, you know, your livelihood. It's affecting your household. It's affecting your child.
Yeah.
So I think really removing that and realizing, you know, it's okay to be hurt, but it's not okay to hold resentment. And I would say pray the same prayer that Jesus prayed. Forgive them, for he does not know what he's doing.
You know, it's hard. I've tried. I honestly have to say that I've tried, I know that forgiveness is not about the other person, it's about me. But at the same time, too, I feel like because I see him living irresponsibly in front of our child, it makes it harder. It makes it harder to see him living that way and knowing that he's supposed to love our child, and he continuously makes all these decisions that still affect us. I mean, 4 years later, I am still deeply hurt. I feel like 4 years later that I should be on a different level, and I'm not, and I'm just stuck. I really have a great support unit, my family, friends. But at the same time, too, there's this secret hurt that I don't want to burden everybody with, that I'm stuck. And I feel like that I'm at a place where I don't know what else to do. I don't know who else to talk to. I don't know what choices I need to make. I don't want to go down a road of being reckless and,
sure,
and having regrets because of my deep-rooted
pain. And you know what, Ray? There's a lot here, and I really want to apologize beforehand because I don't think we'll be able to talk about everything. But let me try to talk about a few things that I think are very important. Number one, you need to surround yourselves with friends and loved ones that will give you permission to be like this, understanding that it will be for a while. Like, I don't think this will be for the rest of your life, but it's okay. Now, not everybody can handle that, and not every friendship would be able to endure it, but you should be able to have at least one or two people that you can really call at any time, cry on their shoulder, pray. And, you know, it should be, you know, for you, it shouldn't be another guy. It definitely can't be another man, because that's dangerous. But, you know, unless it's your brother or your father or someone. But I would say, you know, you need at least one or two people that they will give you permission to be who you need to be. In addition to maybe even counseling, because you got to be able to let this out. I mean, it's just therapeutic. It's healthy. And another suggestion, and this is not like a pat answer, I want you to know that, but there's a reason why there are 150 Psalms in the scriptures. And one of the things that you see, not just the Davidic Psalms, but just the Psalms in general, a lot of them are prayers crying out to God in times of trouble. And they're incredibly candid and honest with God. I mean, to the point where some of them are like, listen, I pray that you just kill my enemies. But at the end of it, if you read these prayers in these Psalms, number one, they were accompanied by music. Music helps a ton through this. So meditation and prayer. But as you do this, you realize that these prayers don't usually end like kill my enemies and that's it. It's just like venting. But at the end of it all, it's like, but God, we know how loving you are and how forgiving you are. But it's okay to be real. It's like there might be times where you need to pray to God and you're like, God, I feel like I hate this man. But then at the end of it all, but God, I know I need to love him the way you love me. But it's okay to vent. And I think sometimes we vent more towards people than we do towards God. God can handle things that sometimes people can't handle. And so realize that God gives you permission to vent as long as you understand that it's not okay to just be there. So like Jesus, for example, when he prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane and he struggled with the decision, at the end of it all, he was resolved. And so your prayer times need to make sure that it might take hours on your knees, but you need to leave resolved from these prayer times with God. And again, I'm not saying this as a pat answer. I'm saying that this is a deep spiritual battle at this point. And this is also a battle for your soul, because the devil knows he could take him out. He'll take you out and then forget your child would really be taken out in all this.
Yeah, right.
And, okay. And I want to give you a couple of scriptures as well, not just these Psalms. But I think number one, keep this in mind. Matthew 6, verse 14, it says, "For when you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Knowing that, you know, this is conditional. God expects you to forgive others. And then the last one I want to share with you is Matthew chapter 18, verse 22, where it says, Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times," and this is in response to the question of how many times you need to forgive, says not seven times, but 77 times.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever understood this one, but I just want to take a brief moment to explain this to you. This one always got me, right? Because I'm like, how can you keep forgiving? You know, in this case, you know, your husband, is he your ex-husband now?
He is.
Okay, your ex-husband has hurt you a ton, and he's still hurting you. So is the Bible saying that you just got to keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving? Yes. However, sometimes the things you have to forgive are the very things that you already forgave, but they come back up. It's like an open wound. Mm-hmm. And so you got to keep it. You got to keep it in check. So every morning you're going to have to get up and read the scripture and say, God, help me to forgive the past sins and anything else that comes along now, because if you don't deal with it, it will just be overwhelming. You'll be dealing with too many wounds.
Yeah.
And so it'll be like death by a thousand cuts. Like you don't want that. And so you have to make sure you find a way to heal. And again, with God and with at least one or two close friends that you already talked to, and they give you permission to be able to vent and share and talk and pray with you. Because this is a very, you know, difficult time, and you're not expected to go through it by yourself.
Okay.
All right. Well, Ray, thank you so much. And please, you know, we'll be keeping you in prayer. Please keep us, you know, abreast of what's going on and mm-hmm. you know, call us back in a few weeks. Let us know how things are going.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Ray.
Take care. All right. We have Kenny. We're going to Kenny on the line. We have Kenny on the line calling in from Philadelphia. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped over
I think we
skipped
one. We'll go to Kenny in just a moment. Kenny, hold up. I think Timothy has a pressing question here.
Timothy is online, too. I'm so sorry, Timothy. I didn't see your name at first. You're live on the air.
That's all right. Good morning. God bless.
Good morning.
Your microphone's a little loud. Usually it's the opposite. We tell people to turn it up, but yours is pretty loud. How are you doing, Timothy?
I'm blessed. How are you?
We're doing great. So what is your question? I believe your question had to do something with same-sex marriage, if I'm not mistaken. So what's your question?
Well, actually, it was an idea that failed because I no longer live with the individual.
Okay.
Because they was mentally, physically, emotionally, and worst of all, spiritually trying to bankrupt me.
Mm. Okay.
And I'm the type of individual, I can deal with the mental, physical, and emotional, but when you try to kill my spirit, you got to go.
So was this a same-sex relationship?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so what was the question regarding this?
I'm still trying to figure out, because even though I can deal with the mental, physical, and emotional, I'm still trying to figure out how to deal with forgiving this individual.
Okay. Well, I just want to say, Timothy, from where I stand, I mean, I don't condone same-sex marriages.
Understood.
However, I do think that there are some lessons to learn in every relationship. And so maybe this could be a sign. God is trying to get your attention. Like, listen, there's some things you got to really consider spiritually. And you're saying that this was not a good relationship in many levels, correct?
Yes.
So now you're having a hard time, similar to our previous caller, you're having a hard time forgiving this individual.
Yeah, because we haven't had any contact for about a month now.
Okay.
And that's actually by choice.
Okay.
But I'm still, you know, in my own way, I'm still having a hard time forgiving.
Now, why is it so hard to forgive? If you kind of know where this person, you know, where they were and what they did, and of course, you know.
Because when we first met, and we met in a shelter.
Okay.
And what I come to realize is that what I was seeing there was the representative.
I got you. So you feel like they misrepresented it, who you know, they deceived you, basically.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I said this a little earlier to a previous caller, but I think, you know, when the devil is a really horrible dance partner.
Yes.
You dance with the devil and you know, it doesn't last all night. It doesn't work. It doesn't, you know, that's why temptation is so luring, right? Because it seems like it's almost perfect.
Uh-huh.
I think we had a few callers ago, young man said he felt like with his fiance, things were like perfect. He's like, well, they weren't perfect. They were almost perfect. It's like, no, you know, when you don't do things God's way, a lot of things will crumble. However, that passage in Matthew 7 about building your house on the rock or on the sand.
Right.
I mean, a beach house can look really beautiful. But when the storm comes is the true test. Will it stand? And the Bible says that that house will only stand when its foundation is on the rock. So, Timothy, in a lot of ways, you knew there are some things there that it was going to be tested and it wouldn't stand because it wasn't based on godly principles. And so I think the lesson to learn here, and maybe it's almost like, listen, why would you be so surprised that this crumbled when it wasn't really based on godly principles? I mean, look, I know the same sex is an issue, but even outside of that, even if it wasn't a same sex marriage and you said you met a woman at the shelter and you moved in together, it would still be wrong. And so I think that understanding, Timothy, that we have to trust God in his word, and he says that the storms will come. I mean, even the best marriages will go through times of testing.
Right.
And so how do we endure this? We got to make sure that our foundation is solid, that is based on Christ and on the scriptures, because one day we're going to have to face God and he's going to either say, you know, I never knew you, or well done, good and faithful servant, because you really trusted me through these things.
Right, right.
So I think, you know, really getting your heart and understanding, you know what, this was the devil's doing. This is not right. You moved on in terms of your life. But I wouldn't, there's a difference too, Timothy. I wouldn't say because you forgive that you kind of have this person back in your life. I think it's smart and it's good that you have that, you know, no contact or anything. But in your own heart, you got to guard your heart and you need to make sure you forgive. Because the Bible says, you know, if you want to be forgiven, you need to forgive as well.
Right.
All right.
I've been listening to you guys all morning. I listen to you guys all the time.
Well, thank you.
Yay.
Thank you. Well, you know, we'll be praying for you. But I really do appreciate you being very honest and open with us. But again, you know, think about that scripture, Matthew 7, and meditate on it in terms of building your life, your foundation being on the rock and not on the sand.
Matthew 7 what?
I'll give it to you right now. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. So I would say all of it, but the specific part that I'm talking about here is Matthew 7, verse 24 down to 28.
Matthew 7, 24 to 28.
That's correct.
All right.
Thank you, Timothy. You have a blessed day. Thank you for your call.
God bless.
All right.
God bless you,
bye-bye.
Too.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we have a few minutes here. I want to visit Facebook. I have I think this might be a private message on Facebook, and the person wants to remain anonymous. She's like, please do not use my name on the air. So I won't. I'll just say How about if I just read the question mm-hmm. and answer it to the best of my ability? It says, how do you regain trust in a relationship when you've been married for 23 years and there has been constant infidelity? My husband is a deacon, but constantly says he's going to show me again when things don't go his way. Yet he wants me to forget about the cheating and remember that he loves me. How? Again, they said, please do not use my name on the air. And this is, and the only problem, the relationship is a trust issue. I keep telling myself that I'm only accountable for me and that he has to answer to God for his actions. Now, I think a few things based on that passage we shared a little earlier in terms of forgiving. We were sharing with Ray, I believe it was, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And then we also talked about, you know, how many times, like how often should you forgive? And of course, Jesus says, you know, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I've realized from where I sit, Tiffany, you know, with couples come or sometimes people, they go through infidelity mm-hmm. and they feel like they quickly forgive. They just forgive and they're like, all right, everything's back to normal. Let's move on. But they haven't really dealt with the issue mm-hmm. and they haven't dealt with the forgiveness. So on the surface, it seems like, OK, I forgave you. Let's go back. In this case, and specifically to this person who wrote us on Facebook, mm-hmm. I think the mistake here is moving on without really dealing with the issue. There's more to the cheating. And usually it's not just the act of cheating, mm-hmm. is the deceit around it, the heart behind it. And I mean, think about it. When someone is cheating, they're having an affair, they have to really, you know, move a lot of components to hide this, you know, spend money, find a hotel room, time, all the, I mean, you, there's a lot involved. And so your heart gets really hard. And so if you just say, okay, I forgive you, you haven't dealt with like what caused this. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you go to this extent of lying to me? I mean, we made a vow, we committed to this. And now you were telling me you were going on this business trip, but you were really away with this person. I mean, what's going on there? Mm-hmm. And these are discussions and conversations that need to happen. And then sometimes it's like, listen, let's get real. What if I don't feel like you're meeting my needs? Mm-hmm. And if we don't deal with these things, then I'm still going to be feeling empty and my, you know, needy and emotionally, you know, starving. And so what we got to do is we got to have some closure. We got to deal with these things. And so what I would say to this particular writer or anyone else who is going through something similar is like, don't just go back into everything is fine and normal when there's something that major like infidelity. And so what you need to do is you need to put the brakes on this and say, we need to go get counseling. We need to, sometimes you might even have to separate. We need to separate. We need to pray. Mm-hmm. We need to fast. And then when we come back together, we need to make sure we build the right way. And we got to have these conversations. And if the person's not willing and they're like, no, you just need to forgive me and forget it, they're not really ready to be forgiven. And they're mm-hmm. not ready to change and repent, because someone who is ready to repent, they're willing to disclose anything and everything and do whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you tell them, they're like, I'm sorry, I was unfaithful, or they got caught, whatever. And you're saying, listen, if I don't know if I'm going to forgive you, you need to do X, Y, and Z. And they come back on their terms, then they're not surrendered. That's mm-hmm. not a surrendered spirit. That's not a surrendered heart. So mm-hmm. what I would say to you and to anyone else in that situation, you got to deal with that first. So, and the fact that they're a leader in the church, that to me, that's a double whammy. That's so sad. That person should step down. They should have the decency to say, I'm not living the right life. I do not need to be in this position of authority or leadership trying to help others. I need help myself. You know, it's like, are you kidding me? You should not be living this. And I'm wondering, you know, they're serving in a leadership position in the church. I wonder if the minister or the, you know, the pastor, the lead pastor even knows what's going on. Because to me, again, then there's layers of deceit. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, putting up this facade. That's just a sad way to live. So there's a lot more there. It's like peeling an onion. Mm-hmm. You got to get through the different layers and deal with it. And probably that's why it's so difficult to deal with these things. I have another one here. I think we just got a few more minutes. It says, please do not use my name. Another one, right? Mm-hmm. Exclamation point. It says, my wife has left the home and she wants space. She's not sure if the marriage is good for her. I was not always good to her. She carried a lot of the burdens. In our marriage, she has a friend that treats her nice, but I turned my life over to the Lord and are trying to change my ways. She says it's too late. Trusting the Lord will restore our marriage, but she does not see why I'm fighting. I do not understand what covenant or marriage is until God were showed me. I guess they didn't know. I'm just praying the Lord will show her what she needs so we can rebuild. I know that's not really a question. I'm just looking for your thoughts if you have any. Wow, there's a lot there. Really quickly, because we don't have a lot of time, you have to be very patient. And a mistake I see a lot of, specifically men, but people in general make, is you kind of admitted to this. You were not good. You said you were not always good to her. You made your mistakes. You hurt her. Just because you changed your life, you gave your life over to the Lord, doesn't mean that people should automatically believe it, rejoice, jump up in the air. Like, it's going to take time to rebuild that trust. And unfortunately, sometimes people, the damage is so grave that they just can't bounce back. I don't know how far she's gone, or maybe this is just, you know, kind of a defense mechanism because she's been hurt so much that she's saying, well, I don't know, I don't want this, because she's trying to see how sincere it is. But ultimately, if you really have given your life over to the Lord, then I would say live your life in such a way that's committed to God, regardless of whether your wife comes back or not, because you're doing it for God. Now, if she ends up seeing that you're sincere and decides to forgive you and work on it, then amen, that's awesome. But if she doesn't, realize that this is the consequence of your sin. You didn't treat her right. You pushed her away. You know, you're not going into detail, so we don't know what that means. But if you were unfaithful, or if you mistreated her, or if you were, you know, insensitive, whatever, you were selfish and sinful, and now you've changed, I mean, whatever happens from here on, realize that, you know, God has got this now. I mean, and he can do anything. So stay prayerful and faithful, but don't do it just because you want God to fix your marriage. Do it because you love God, and you'll leave it all in his hands. And in the meantime, last thing I would say is just be incredibly apologetic. Probably every time you see her, you need to say how sorry you are, how much you love her, how much you miss her, and really make up for some of the things you did. So again, if you were a jerk, don't expect people to just jump up and say, wow, this jerk gave his life over to the Lord. Amen. Everything's good. A lot of the pain that was and hurt that was done along the way has consequences. All right. So all of you, thank you so much. We do invite you to follow us on Facebook if you've not done that already, and also on Twitter. You can go to facebook.com/beyondthevows and hit the like button. We want you to like us. We have many of you who do like us. We have thousands of likes, and we love that. We want to keep going and keep growing. We also invite you to visit our website, praisephilly.com. Mm-hmm. Praisephilly.com. And look for me, Marcos Mercado. Listen to archive shows. Tell your friends. Let's continue to do this. And last but not least, let's pray for so many of the marriages that are hurting right now.
All right. And with that said, we want to say much love to our on-site producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.